today on Real Radio.
Don't tell me you believe in God. Show me that you believe in God. Right? If the world saw how much we love Jesus, the world might knock down these walls to get in here.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called Combat Faith, a study in 2 Peter, with a message called 100% Sanctification Guaranteed, Part 2. You know, Peter was a disciple of Christ, of course, who later on became the leader of the first century church. In 1 Peter, we saw how Peter lovingly cared for others and faithfully pursued his passion to spread the gospel to those around him. But here in the book of 2 Peter, Peter knew his time was limited and much was at stake. For this reason, his words are urgent and his message is straightforward to combat the vain and senseless arguments of a godless world. Throughout the Old Testament, God has called his people to be set apart from this world. This was fulfilled in our New Testament relationship with Jesus Christ. In Peter's day, the early church was increasingly thankful for what Jesus had already done in their lives. They realized that 100% sanctification was giving all they had as they continued to follow after the Lord. So today on day two of this message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that when we add to our faith love, how's that to be expressed? Well, God's love is a supernatural overflow of goodwill, a divine love that asks nothing in return. In real life, it means to just do it. Do it for Jesus, do it for good, and do all the right things in spite of what you feel. And now in his message called 100% Sanctification Guaranteed, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
When we cooperate with God, look at thirdly, we cooperate with a greater love. Give all diligence to add to your faith, love. How does that look? Godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness. A greater love. Godliness, circle that word godliness, and brotherly kindness, a compound word here for us to look at. But first of all, godliness. Eusebia in Greek, it means to be like godness. It means to have not only personal piety, but here's the cool thing. Please, everybody listen. It's not only to have personal piety, but there's a prerequisite. It's to have a personal piety or a personal righteousness or godliness that is mimicked. Oh, listen to this. It means that for you and I, please don't miss this, our godliness is not self-righteousness. That's disgusting. You know what's sad about self-righteousness? The person that's self-righteous doesn't see it and everybody else does. Very few people have the guts to tell them, you know what? You're really messed up. You're a legend in your own mind. You totally keep in touch with yourself. It's all about you, yourself, and you're messed up. Self-righteousness is horrific. That's not what we're talking about. This godliness is a godliness that is mimicked. Meaning what? It means, so simple, it means that we see what the Bible says of who God is, and we do it. Does that, listen, don't answer, in case you're wrong, I don't want you to feel bad. Does it sound difficult to be exercising godliness, which means to mimic God? Does that sound difficult? Listen, it's not difficult. It's implying that we have the heart to do it, which is given to us by God anyway, but it means this. It means to see what God does and then to get up off the chair, get out of the house and go do it, or go down the hallway to the bedroom or to the kitchen and go do it. Listen, to miss this is to miss Christianity. You'll only be a theorist if you miss this one. It's to do Christianity. Oh God, we're praying. Oh God, work in my heart. Lord, I see my bankruptcy. I have no virtue. Lord, will you put your virtue in me? I have no knowledge. God, will you do that in my life? Will you do that? Perseverance, all of this, godliness, love, will you do that, God? Because I can't do it. And so we learn this about that. The mimic or to mime is to, the word means to walk in the same steps. So who are we walking after? We're walking after Jesus. So in the 21st century, what does it mean? It means I get up in the day and I go to live my life. And you know the old saying, what would Jesus do? It's probably where it comes from. That we would decide, irregardless of feeling, irregardless of what it might cost us, I'm going to do today what Jesus would do in this situation. And this is what's radically fun. And some of you need to do this because your Christian experience is kind of dull right now. It's kind of lifeless. I'm encouraging you to do this one thing. You leave this building today and you mimic Jesus in this thing of God-likeness. And you ask yourself this question. When you see that person or hear about that situation or whatever it might be, you say what Jesus would say because you know your Bible. If you don't know your Bible, then you can't do it. But the Holy Spirit will take the Word of God and empower it in your life supernaturally if you are willing. Well, my marriage stinks. You need to let God use you to be like His Son in your house. My kids drive me nuts. You need the Holy Spirit to take the Word of God and do what He does in and through life, your life. It's being devoted and choosing to do what He wants. That's sanctification in practice, in work. The power is of God. The resources of our God, all we're called to do is to be willing to do it. Church, listen, can we do that? We must do this. To negate this is to spell peril for us individuals. If you say, well, I'm not really into that, then you need to get born again. You need to get saved. You need to have real faith in Christ. Seriously, really. In fact, listen. In John chapter 8, verse 28, Jesus started there. This is amazing. I love this. Jesus said in John 8, 28, I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And He who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please Him. That's awesome. Write this verse down. Matthew 5, 43. Jesus said, you have heard that it has been said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. That you may be sons of your Father in heaven. Isn't that amazing? How do I do that? I can't do that. Unless the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and applies it to a yielded heart. All we're called to do is say, Lord, do your work in my life. But isn't it amazing? You know anybody? Is there anybody you hate? That's a huge sin in us, you know? We're not to hate anybody. But our human hearts are prone to hate. Well, there's great hope for us because God, through Christ, says, love the ones that you hate. And you want to, here's what happens. If there's somebody that you can't stand, and you're gonna yield yourself now to God to be like Jesus, you wind up targeting this person to, and you say, yes, target. No. Bullet point. Yes. Bullseye, preach it. No, I mean, single them out and say, Lord, I can't stand that guy. And yet your word is telling me that in the sanctification process of my Christianity, this has got to get dealt with. And I'm asking you to work in me, God, and to reach out to that person and to be you to them. Try it. At first, it's going to be hard. Second, kind of clumsy. Third, fourth, Lord, I'm starting to see power in this. And on it goes. Guess what happens? When you start acting like you love someone, you wind up loving someone. When you act like you hate someone and you just let it be, it will continue to fester and to develop until you are a full-blown mess, all because it wasn't arrested and taken care of. But thank God the reverse is true. Act like you love them. Then the love will begin to be given supernaturally, and you're the one that will be set free. That person may never love you back. She becomes irrelevant. You have experienced freedom because you've obeyed Christ, and the power of God in through you by the Holy Spirit will set you free. And that is being like Jesus. Fourthly, we see that we're to cooperate with a greater passion. It says there in Scripture that we're to have this brotherly kindness love. We're to add the love. And this is the love of God. This is not the love of man. This is that word, either agapa or agape. It means it's God's supernatural overflow or outflowing love. This is God's agape love is a love that cannot be, it's not predictable. It's defined perfectly in 1 Corinthians 13, but it's not predictable. Here's the reason why. We have to choose, like all these other wonderful characteristics, we have to choose to let God work his love through us. It's divine. It's not earthly. Sometimes we do a great injustice when we talk to people. I saw someone the other day witnessing to someone. Listen, you and I will get this. The Christians in the house, you'll get this. This person who's a believer is talking to a never before, ever seen, never met them before, non-believer. And the believer is witnessing to the non-believer. And the believer says, I'm sharing the good news with Jesus because I love you. And I want you to know the truth. Stop right there. Only the Christian knows what I'm talking about right now. When you're not a Christian and some stranger says to you, I love you and I'm telling you the truth, you're thinking, this person's really sick. No, think of it. They're messed up. How can they love me when they don't even know who I am? We need to stop talking Christianese to people. When your boss says, oh, you know what? You're laid off. Oh, praise the Lord. You look like a lunatic. They don't get it. They're not supposed to get it. You go home and tell your wife, got laid off today. Praise the Lord. And she can say, oh, praise the Lord. But don't go in front of the heathen and the non-believer and say, hallelujah. I just got laid off. Glory be to God. Praise the Lord. That's Christianese. They don't get it. So when you say to somebody, I love you, I'm telling you the truth, Jesus Christ, they're not even hearing you. They're stuck with the thing. How can this weirdo love me? They don't even know me. But it is true. You are saying what's true. You are saying that you love them. You want to know why you love them instantly? Christian, listen, that comes out of your mouth because it's in your heart, because God's given you a burden for this individual and you really want their soul to be redeemed, and you may never see them again, but you want them to be in heaven with you. Do you understand how supernatural that is? They're total strangers, but now you're sick to your stomach because they're going to hell and you want them in heaven. That's the love of God. That's supernatural. They don't understand it. You don't understand it, but it's true. We do love them, but we can't define it. We can't describe it. Agape love, loves where there seems to be no love left, loves an enemy that is even plotting your own death. Love. None of us, listen, none of us can throw our hands up in disgust or fear and say, we've lost all hope. Not while we can call upon the love of God. Galatians chapter 5, verse 6 says, what is important is faith expressed itself in love. Don't tell me you believe in God. Show me that you believe in God. Right? If the world saw how much we love Jesus, the world might knock down these walls to get in here. Right? So this nature, all of these beautiful things, you think about what's being listed here. This is the characteristics of the believer. And begins with faith. We see here love. And from the moment that we put faith in Jesus Christ until the ultimate day of culmination where we stand before the love of God, Jesus himself, all along the way, including today, is this sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit in your life. And we experience this in hope. Thank God the Bible's hope is not like an earthly hope. You know, the earthly hope is, gosh, I sure hope, I hope the Rams win today in London. I don't know. That's the world's hope. Oh, I hope I win the lotto. We ought not to be playing it. You're gambling with God's money. You don't hope in that stuff. Oh, I hope that. Hey, the Christian's hope is, it's not a gamble. It's an assured hope. Our hope today, how do we know that God is going to complete his sanctifying work in our lives? That's our hope, because God never turns back on something that he's committed himself to do. He'll never quit. He'll never give up. If he started that good work in you, he's going to finish it until Christ comes. He's never going to stop. But here's the deal. How does this happen? So Jack, you told me about this. You said it's critical regarding our sanctification. Am I a real true believer? Well, let me ask you, those things listed, how's it going in your life? To the saint that's here right now and it's going great, do you know what their answer would be? Their answer would be, I need more of this in my life. Amen. You may be here today saying, man, I just feel like such a failure. Oh my goodness, my dear friend. Then let's go out to lunch together and commiserate together, because we all feel like that. If there's somebody walking around saying, well, you can find out for me how complete and perfect I am. The closer you get to him, the more you see how much you need more of him. The life of the believer in sanctification is to walk with Jesus to the point that you're walking so close, you're in the same shadow. You wind up doing what people do. I told you, Lisa and I, we were away. June was our 40th wedding anniversary, but we just got a chance to do something about it. And so we went away. And it's kind of funny because a couple of times on our trip, somebody would say something and we would both at the exact same time say, wow. Or sparkling water, please. Or this seat. Or that thing. Are you with me? Exact same thing. Same time. Boom, like one person. Boom. You spend so much time with someone that they actually become part of you. Thoughts begin to be unified. Words begin to be the same. And God says, I want you to have me be in you and you in me and we be one. And so the scripture says in 1 John that as he is, listen, as he is, so are we now in this world. Think about how beautiful this is. And I'm not being funny. Honestly, listen. Do you see Jesus walking around this world like this? I'm Messiah. I'm Savior. Come to me. I love you. I'll give you eternal life. Or do you see him, imagine now, like you are today in this world, where you reach out to people in the personality that you are, and you're saying to people, hey, you know what? I saw this, I saw that, I heard this, I heard the other. You know, if you don't mind me saying so, God says that his plans for you are for a future and for a hope. You are a believer, aren't you? I don't know. Can I tell you about him? The one who has such a plan for your life. You know what they're going to say to you? One of two things. They're going to say, I don't want to hear it. Or they're going to say, can I buy you a cup of coffee? Do you know that's being Jesus in this world? Did you know that's a sanctifying work? As you yield yourself to the dynamic and the excitement of who he is, it'll blow your mind. God is so good. Lisa and I were away, and We were at a coffee shop, and I have to tell you, I was completely zoned out. I'm just like, coffee. Coffee. You know what I'm talking about? I know none of you have been there, but I'm not responsible for nothing until I have like 3 or 4 cups of coffee. So I'm standing there and I'm waiting for my coffee. And I'm just kind of, and I look and I see a woman sitting down, and I don't know what it's called, I should know, but I've forgotten, but she has the pressure wrap on her arm that cancer patients have for, lymphedema. Say it again.
Lymphedema.
Lymphedema? So she's wearing that, and I just look. And my thought process was this, that poor lady's battling cancer. Lord, help her. Oh, your coffee, sir. Thank you. And I'm walking like this, and instantly, I just sensed. I didn't hear voices. I sensed him just go straight to her and pray for her. Well, I got to tell you, I'm so out of it. I don't see where Lisa's talking to someone, but I don't even know who the someone is. I don't even care. And we're far away from home, by the way. I mean, we're like thousands of miles from home. And I was just like, and I said, excuse me, can I pray for you? And she goes, yes. And I pray, and I'm praying like this, and I'm praying in Jesus' name, amen. And she goes, oh, I'm a believer. The Lord is so good to me. Jesus has been showing me this and this, and I'm going,
yeah.
Wow. We're thousands of miles from home. I hear her. And she says something to the effect, oh, and my friend, yes, it's this. And I look at the friend, and the friend that's been talking to Lisa used to go to this church for years. She was with the lady at the coffee table. I was so oblivious. Why was it this way? It was not only God encouraging that woman that's battling cancer, but it was God also saying to me, I'm even Lord without coffee. I'm even the Lord of your life. I don't even need you to be awake, Jack. I can use you.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs. Here on Real Radio, with his message called 100% Sanctification Guaranteed, Part 2. Thanks for being with us today. And you know what? No one can wipe your tears away like the God of love. And he's coming back again to do just that. 100% Sanctification Guaranteed, Part 2, is part of Pastor Jack's series called Combat Faith, a study in 2 Peter, a series about the Apostle Peter, whose life was transformed by the salvation of Jesus Christ in a very powerful way, and whose passion was to live out his faith as a messenger of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, have you heard of George Whitefield? Well, don't be surprised if you haven't. George Whitefield is largely forgotten these days, but he was probably one of the most famous religious figures of the 18th century. Whitefield was fearless in preaching the gospel, and a great revival swept across the British Isles. He also had quite a major impact on what's known as the Great Awakening in America. Newspapers even called Whitefield the marvel of the age. It's why Pastor Jack chose May's Book of the Month to be George Whitefield, God's Anointed Servant in the Great Revival of the 18th Century. Long title, but filled with an amazing source of quotations from not only Whitefield, but other prominent figures of his day, including John and Charles Wesley and Benjamin Franklin, who I'm sure you've heard of. So head over to our website, jackhibbs.com, and for a gift of any amount, pick up a copy of George Whitefield, God's Anointed Servant in the Great Revival of the 18th Century. We're sure it will not only inspire you in these troubling times, but encourage you in the faith. Again, it's called George Whitefield, God's Anointed Servant in the Great Revival of the 18th Century. And you'll find it at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.